I don't mind. Come on up. I have nothing to disclose. That was not related to the seats. You know, it's funny, coincidentally, I also went to the University of Michigan and live in Ann Arbor, although, you know, I'm not representing the University of Michigan, but go blue, you know. I'm going to talk about a different kind of application of GIS than what you were just looking at, and a way to use GIS, and specifically web-based mapping, as a way for humanitarian organizations to solve problems, which is what I mean by knowledge platform. I do this a lot with a lot of different kinds of problems. I can't talk about all of them, so I'm just going to talk about one project to narrow in on some work that we did with the United Nations Population Fund and the Fistula Foundation to map out the global distribution of obstetric fistula surgical repair services. You know, first a couple words on obstetric fistula, since often I talk to folks and they don't really know very much about obstetric fistula, largely because it's been eradicated in a large portion of the world. It used to be the case that women in the United States were at high risk of obstetric fistula. The first fistula hospital was located in New York City on the site of what's currently the Waldorf Astoria Hotel. So next time you go to the Waldorf Astoria, go in and ask him about fistula. But it's a birth injury that's sustained by women that have poor access to attendants, skilled attendants at birth, that have complicated pregnancies. They have prolonged obstructed labor. They suffer an injury that results in tissue necrosis, and they often end up with an extreme form of incontinence that results in long-term social isolation, the inability to reintegrate with their communities. They are they become outcasts, and they often are unable to do sort of normal functions simply because of the social impact of this condition. Even though the repair for this is fairly simple to accomplish, it's fairly cheap. It costs about $90 per repair if you have a skilled surgeon who knows how to conduct the surgery. Current estimates by the United Nations range as high as 2 million women in the world that suffer from this condition, primarily concentrated in sub-Saharan Africa and anecdotally in South Asia, although that's an issue that we're trying to get our head around because we haven't gotten a good response in South Asia in terms of response to our surveys. As a direct relief works in material aid, so, you know, the problem we're trying to solve is to affect the dimension of this that we have some control over, right? So if it's a $90 surgery, you need surgeons, but you need supplies. And, the supplies are simple. They're very basic. They don't require, this is not brain surgery. They need to be there, and they need to be there regularly and consistently. As we're thinking about the issue of how do you try to bring about a world in which no woman ever has to suffer this condition, we are trying to then figure out where would you begin to supply services? Where would you begin to scale up the capacity to provide surgery? It turns out that very little is known about this, the distribution of this condition. The 2 million women estimate is very vague. There hasn't been really a consistent prevalence study done on obstetric fistula, and very little is known about the distribution, prior to our mapping effort, the distribution currently of where you can actually get access to these services. But, you know, we were trying to then figure out how do you put the pieces together? How do you find out where the surgical facilities are? You can't give them supplies unless you know where they are. Where is surgical labor distributed? So a lot of the work that is done to repair fistula is done by itinerant surgeons. meaning that they're not permanently based at a facility. They travel around, they go where essentially a model of care that you might have seen 100, 150 years ago in many parts of the world, where you just go, people know you're going to show up, we organize women to be there at the facility for the duration and figure out how to connect them. You need supplies. You need services for rehabilitation and reintegration, and we need to know where those do and don't exist. So because of the social exclusion dynamic, you know, it's not enough in many cases just to provide the surgery, but to really provide the ability to know, you know, to relearn certain kinds of job skills. These are women that have been experiencing long-term social marginalization, so to be able to reintegrate afterwards is important, and then also to serve as a tool for advocacy and policy. So we began thinking about web mapping as a way to help solve the problem, primarily to figure out where things exist, because we're a logistics organization, we need to know where to put the stuff, but also to engage a pretty broad array of stakeholders to this problem. We can't solve this problem ourselves. We can only solve one dimension of the problem. Web mapping becomes important as a way to do this, in part because it serves as a permanent home on the web for data that is associated with the campaign to end fistula. So it's a way to constantly engage advocacy. It's a living map, so we're acknowledging right from the get-go that we don't know enough, even after having done quite a bit of research, done two global surveys on this. We don't know enough about the distribution of the conditions, so this needs to be a living map. It needs to be of use to a broad array of stakeholders, from the UN down to individual facilities that are able to identify their own place in a broader landscape, and then to other humanitarian aid organizations also, who are able to provide assistance that we are not necessarily able to provide. I can go into how this gets built, but that's the rationale behind making this an interactive web mapping application. I thought about demoing this, but you know, demos never really work out the way that you think they're going to work, so I decided to make it canned. But if you see the core of the data here, these are, each point on the map represents a surgical care facility. These were identified to us by a mix of different partners: the United Nations Population Fund, a group called the International Society of Obstetric Fistula Surgeons, which represents obstetric fistula surgeons, and who knows the existence of quite a lot of these facilities, and you know, a number of other of our own partners from around the world, and we geocoded all of these to begin to produce the base map, and conducted a survey that's been conducted twice now that went out through these partners through a web-based platform, primarily interviewing facility personnel about the services offered, how many women are being treated at that facility, how many surgeons, how many, what their, whether they're permanently based or they're itinerantly based, whether they host outreach camps. Quite a lot of the services are provided at camps that are then ancillary to the facility itself, and then provide the ability to navigate this data through the web map interface. We spent some time making it look nice because it's got to engage an audience on the web so that it's going to attract people to use this as a part of their everyday work. If they use this to build into another presentation, to take it out and use it, we wanted to be able to make this for something which is broader than what we're personally able to solve. So as you go through, this looks at a number of different variables. This is looking at previous was looking at number of women, and the canned demo here goes down through the, if you see the name of the variable on the side. So this is looking at the number of surgeons. So looking at the relationship between the different dimensions of the data that we're collecting through the survey. This is service availability, permanent versus itinerant. It skews towards permanent, but that core number over there is important to remember in terms of the number of these that are being performed by traveling surgeons. And then looking at the distribution by country in terms of where the largest number of these are being performed in Democratic Republic of Congo, leading the list. Although it's interesting that, for instance, DRC leads the list in terms of number of facilities. Number of surgeries is headed by Nigeria. Partially that's actually just about population, and partially it's actually about geography, about distribution of facilities. They tend to be very small facilities in the DRC, whereas there's been a longer history of provision of these services in places like Nigeria and Ethiopia. So you have a few very, very large regional facilities that are based at those places. And there are different supply conditions and different kinds of access conditions at those places. But the living map part of this is important, right? Because if you look, the gray dots in here are places that we did not actually receive responses to the survey. We know from dialogue with ISOFS and others that there is a facility there, and we felt it was an incumbency on us to actually represent that the facility does exist. But we don't know very much about it. Because this is intended to be a living map, we put them there and provide a means for continuous engagement. You can enter information directly into the map. So we integrated this with Qualtrics survey software to allow for what we discovered: a large number of users of the map are folks in the countries that are seeing a large number of facilities, a large number of patients, or they're professionals that are working in the field of provision of services for here. So the map itself is a data entry portal, and so there's the capacity to grow the knowledge base in and through this interface on the web over time, done in English and French, and get a pretty good survey response, 62%, 64%, but the goal is to get to 100% and then to figure out from there where is missing, where would you strategically place resources and facilities over time to be able to identify this. We've gotten a lot of good press off of this in terms of engagement with a broader UN effort to end fistula. The Lancet wrote us up in April, and the General Secretary, Ban Ki-moon, wrote us up in his remarks on the campaign to end fistula in 2012. So it's been successful in terms of the engagement with high-level actors. So far, we have been able to dramatically scale up our own logistical efforts. So our supply flow has increased as a result. We have been able to put a surgical theater directly into Edna Adan's hospital, who you may have heard about. Nicholas Kristof writes about her a lot, but she's an amazing woman who works in Somaliland. And have been able to do a lot of engagement. Islamic Development Bank worked with us to make enough to use the map as a way to guide their investments on scaling up capacity. And what I'm working on right now is to build on the knowledge creation portion of this. I've geocoded it. So like I said at the beginning, there's been no real prevalent studies per se consistently cross countries, even within countries. Most of the studies are actually of particular facilities to identify how many women have shown up. I've started the process of, so I can't build a layer that shows you prevalence relative to where surgeries are provided, but what I can do is geocode all the research that's been done on this. Most of it occurs at facilities or occurs, they're place-based research, and so I've geocoded about 110 academic papers that over the course of about 15 years worth of work, and the layer will be added into the map over the next month or two so that we can look at where people have done work so far to build our knowledge base about this problem, where we know that services are being provided, and then ideally to look at progress towards the goal of ensuring that no woman ever has to suffer this condition. So that's what we're working on. Thanks a lot.
Questions for Andrew?
In the back. Yeah, well, it's a combination of things. So we worked with a USAID project that has done some work on this, that has information about locations of facilities. The United Nations Population Fund has some information about locations of facilities. A group called the International Society of Obstetric Fistula Surgeons had another body of information about location of facilities. So building the map is a process of comparing notes between who has what list, and some of them are, you know, record the same facility in different places, and you know, there's a lot of coordination. And some of these services are provided by NGOs. Most of them are Ministry of Health facilities that are supported by NGOs. Yeah, go ahead. Well, one of the things we're doing is speaking at the American Public Health Association conference. But this has been written up in the Lancet. It was in Ban Ki-moon's remarks, and we've tried to do a lot of work to get it out. I mean, it's a difficult issue often to get to circulate. The numbers are large, but they're not as large as a lot of other problems. And so there's been a struggle to kind of bump this up the queue of global health priorities. And this is part of the effort to bump this up the queue of global health priorities. In terms of directly working with governments, I mean, organizations that we're receiving data from do themselves work directly with all of these governments. So even though I don't personally, their data is coming from Ministry of Health collaborations. So, you know, there is a removal process. The validation process on this has been done through hiring experts, basically. We sample this and then have folks like Steve Arrowsmith, who's a fistula surgeon who works in Niger as a regional expert, and other folks like that go back and then directly work with folks at these facilities to verify these numbers on a sampled basis. So we have high confidence in the veracity of the numbers. But we work with the governments to be able to engage them on that, too.
So you talked a lot about the patients that were treated and mapping out where the sites are. Do you know if that's been overlapped with the actual need in terms of the number of fistulas in those given areas? Or did I miss that? I apologize.
So that information doesn't exist. So that's why I'm mapping out the research that has been done on those on that question, right? So there is no prevalence study. There have been specific studies, usually which are based at facilities, that have been done about the numbers that they've seen at those facilities, and they are highly uneven in terms of the quality of the study and what have you. But you know, I feel like, in lieu of a global prevalence study, we should make available what we do know, and so that others can follow up on that process, and as a kind of crowdsourcing of knowledge about this condition. It would be great to engage a global effort to really kind of understand the full scope of this problem. But it's difficult, and it takes, you know, funding to do that, and so far it hasn't been forthcoming, but who's to say it won't? That's actually part of the reason to do the project, to say that actually we're missing this piece. Can someone please fund it?
Although you have looked at the locations of each facility, has anybody looked at how accessible this
Yeah, it's a really good point. I mean, we don't have a value in here that is an index of accessibility necessarily, but it's a good idea. I mean, you can overlay. We have built-in overlays in here that look at a number of other relevant conditions, and we could build in overlays that get very subnational about demographic conditions, the topography, things like that. We've also made it so you can download. All this data is open, so the survey is downloadable and usable by others. If you want to be able to, put it into your own GIS and do other things with it, I would strongly encourage you to do that and to then think about, different dimensions of access in the name of trying to build a community of people that are looking at this problem. If you do, we'd love to know about it, and I would be happy to kind of, showcase other uses of it. But yeah, it's a good point, because physical access, this is one of the reasons why fistula is such an important, even though the numbers may not be as high as many other conditions, it's an extremely significant indicator of the failure of health systems to provide access to care. Because really the only reason why this is happening is because women don't have, women with complicated pregnancies do not have access to emergency obstetric care. They cannot get a C-section. They may live far away from the nearest facility. And so sort of thinking through those access questions is a key policy portion of this dialogue.
Thank you, Andrew.
Oh, you're welcome.